Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Thursday, the 28th of July. And I know this is cliche to say, but where the hell did this month go?
Yeah, that's just true. Saying.
Anyway, good morning.
All my summer months are like that.
I know.
Only fall that drags.
It just seemed like it was 4th of July, and now it's the end of July, but that's okay. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the roundtable. We have a lot to talk about. It has been a busy news cycle, as we've been discussing on the program this all week, I think. We're going to introduce our panelists. We're going to remind you that you can write to us, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org, and for the most part, we like your letters. let me introduce, I know Rosemary and Alan have already been going at it for the taping of the Media Project just moments ago.
Boy, is that true.
They could hear the walls vibrating.
Yeah, I saw it. There was a little dust cloud in Studio
so right.
D.
You are so right.
But that's okay. Well, it's good to see you all. I'm glad you made it out alive. Mike and I are unscathed, so that's good. We'll do the proper introductions. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
I have learned the classic rule, and I am now breaking it. Never eat a pretzel before you go on the air.
Yes. Pretzel, milk, peanuts, anything like
Why?
That.
Why? What does it do?
Well, it makes you smile.
Makes you sound like this.
You always sound. No, no, no. That's because you don't use the mic. I mean? You always sound like that.
Rosemary Armeo is head of the journalism program at the University at Albany, and it's always a thrill to have her with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Mike Spain, associate editor of the Times Union newspaper, who I contacted very late and said, hey, would you like to talk about treason? And he said, yes.
You betcha.
So here we are. Good morning. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org. I'll leave it up to you folks. Do you want to talk about the convention first, or do you want to talk about Donald Trump first?
God, either.
How can you separate the two?
Okay, well, let's talk about Donald Trump yesterday. We'll go in chronological order. So yesterday, Donald Trump at 11:30 in the morning had a press conference from his golf resort in one of his golf resorts in Florida. And among other things, said that abated the Russians into hacking Hillary Clinton and hacking to find the emails because he knows that either they or some other foreign government must have them and to deliver them to the press who will be mightily happy or something like that, some weird phrase. Anyway, so that brought out very strong comments from the Clinton campaign, of course, that said that this has now become, began as a political joke and has now become a real
issue. International
issue. He doubled down shortly thereafter, tweeting that that clarifying his comment. And then this morning on Fox and Friends said that he was being sarcastic. So what are we to make of this panel?
Well, I mean, I think it was sarcastic. It was a poorly phrased act of sarcasm. But I think it reveals that he doesn't think about what he says. He shoots from the hip. He does not measure his comments. And probably the more serious problems yesterday were the comments he made about whether he would possibly consider lifting sanctions against Russia for their invasion of Crimea last year.
Exactly.
And the other thing he said, which is also a bit scary to me, is he thinks that Hillary Clinton's running mate is Tom Keene, the former governor, Republican
right.
governor of New Jersey, who headed the 9/11 commission, which was a
right.
bipartisan effort, and a very reputable guy. He gets Tom Keene and Tim Kaine.
I missed that. When did that come out?
He said he did a lousy job in New Jersey, too, speaking of Hillary's vice president.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Yeah. So he's not thinking. His brain doesn't seem to be catching up to his mouth, and his mouth seems to be sputtering off, and that's hurting him.
And yet, two things. Number one, we have to see if the polls change and whether the Hillary, campaign gets, if Hillary gets a boost, as he got, as Trump got a boost. And number two, there does seem to be, he gave a talk in Pennsylvania, and the mob that came was huge. So there is a real question whether the demographic that he's aiming at is saying, we don't care what he says, we think it's time to change the sort of establishment.
I think it was sarcastic, and the press overblew that. I think you made a really good case, Mike, that there were other things in that speech that we should have paid attention to. And yet, does any of it matter? Trump said it himself. He could go out on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and would not see a change in the polls. And that was true when he said it, only of Republican primaries. Now we're in a general election, and the polls are still very troubling to me. I blast polls. I don't think they mean everything. But it is amazing to me how politicians and people of the ilk of Mike Bloomberg can see through what Trump is doing, and many of his followers do not. At the Democratic National Convention last night, Mike Bloomberg, who is a legitimate, excellent billionaire worth 10 times what Trump is and started without millions from daddy, called him a crazy con man. Why does that not have an effect or an impact
because,
on Trump's followers?
Well, maybe it will.
Because that's right, Joe, but maybe it won't.
That's right.
Yes, also
whatever
right.
You were right. Yeah.
And also, you know, in Bloomberg... has a following, all right, Rosemary, but it is basically a business following. It was Trump who stood up very proudly and said in a press conference, "I love the uneducated." It's my favorite line.
I love the poorly educated. It's a quote I've used many times. Let's be anti-intellectual and do nothing.
For those
we're
lousy
cool.
schools, right?
Yeah. Wow.
Well, yes, but the demographic, follow the demographic in all of this, and you really do see what's happening here.
Yeah, I saw a piece in the Washington Post this morning where somebody made a good point in that Donald Trump has delivered a legitimate issue, and that is that people are tired and sick of what's going on now, and they don't like it, and they don't want it to continue, and they want change. He's delivered the message, but he is not the alternative, and that's what the point made.
Your point is redoubled by the fact that Bernie Sanders did so well. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you think that I think 47% of the delegates sitting in that convention had voted for Bernie. And they were representative of voters who voted for Bernie.
Exactly.
That does say that people are sick and tired of something in this country.
Well, and I'm not so sure it's so new. I think Barack Obama is in office because of hope change.
Yep.
Isn't it the same message? Although he delivered it with actual grace and intelligence and oratorical skills, not like Trump.
Can I get back to just something that bothered me yesterday, too, though?
Yes,
and
you can.
I understand. Thank you. I understand the about it being sarcastic, but. You know, there was a 1984, President Reagan was running for re-election right after the convention and was doing his weekly radio address. And before the radio address
tested
the mic and said, I'm pleased to tell the American people that I've outlawed Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes. And that when that went out over the air.
Oh, I don't remember that.
That created an incident. Okay, yeah. That created an incident. And then everyone came and said, "Oh, my God, what are you talking?" And he goes, "Oh, I was just joking. It was just a joke. I'm just joking." And everybody said, "Oh, okay, it was just joking." And it was clear. He was doing a mic test. He didn't think the mic was on, as we've learned in this room. You know when the mics are on, right?
You betcha.
The press asked three follow-up questions regarding that. Are you saying, sir, yes? Are you saying yes? And then an hour after the press conference, he tweeted the exact same thing. So to now come back and say, okay, I'm being sarcastic, I don't know. It seems like the blowback was so strong that he said he was being sarcastic, but he still made the comment not once, not twice, but three times, and put it in writing.
Well, not only that, it is what came after that. Mike was right. It is the stream that came afterwards when we start talking about the real implications of our relationship with Russia, and when he's talking about NATO, and when he's talking about getting out of NATO, and all the rest of that stuff. That really does make a package.
And maybe I'm the only one, but it also seemed, this is to your point, Rosemary, being sarcastic and just, but he seemed when he was asked that question about Crimea, as though he was like, "Yeah, we're going to look into it." As if he didn't even really know what Crimea is.
No. I think it's the problem. I'm sorry, Mike. I think it's the problem of Trump as the candidate. He makes these wild. He thinks he's going for a laugh. He's a showman.
Yes.
So makes these crazy sarcastic comments, and then when challenged, does what he has always done. He doubles down. And goes, no, I really meant it. I really meant it. Yet at the same time, his running mate Mike Pence is out there saying, no. If Russia does anything to interfere with us, we're going to go after him. That's horrible. And his campaign is doing the tamping down of all the problems.
Yeah, Paul Ryan too. Paul Ryan made it clear that Russia is a threat to world peace and is an adversary of the United States. And you know, but he's going to continue to support.
What a little ninny he is, and he proves that to me every time he speaks out about Trump. He should not be supporting this man, Paul Ryan. You are a eunuch.
One of two things are going to happen.
He
did the right, responsible thing, Rosemary. You can't.
He's not a leader, Alan. A leader would say what he really meant and follow up on that with actions.
There is a line in the sand. I mean, here comes this guy. It takes a certain amount of guts if you are going to be a Republican and a Republican leader to criticize your presidential candidate. I think he deserves credit for that. I don't like him. He deserves credit for that.
I don't know, but why? At what point does the outrage and the outrageous things that he says propel Republicans in the establishment, such as Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, to come out and say, enough is enough?
Well, wait a second. Ryan did do it. In other words, Ryan had
But he's still supporting him. Well, he has an endorsement.
He wants to be president of the United States. He cannot turn on his own guy. The Bushes did it, to their everlasting credit.
Yes, that's why it's on us. Are we going to award Paul Ryan for this behavior, which is gutless?
I don't think it is gutless. I think you're wrong, and I know that our audience...
It takes a certain level of guts to continue to support him.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's it. But wouldn't it play better with the American people in a presidential run to turn around and say, I'm going to do what's best for the country?
No, Joe, it would not. Because he has to run in primaries.
Oh, dear.
Wait, come on, stop with the eunuch.
No, it is.
I hope you don't call me a eunuch. However, because you did, you know, that was not. No,
I never called you that. I called Paul Ryan that.
That's right. I get it. But I don't think it's proper. I mean, I think it takes some guts if you're a politician, if you want to be president, and you have to run in primaries, you cannot afford not to have support of the Republican candidate.
He can have his cake and eat it too. He can make it quite clear that he's not supporting Donald Trump, while officially he's in support of the ticket that his party puts forward. That way he doesn't offend people too much, and yet he makes it clear to the constituency, this guy is not the right guy. And I think that's what's going on here. He's trying
Of course. That's exactly what he's trying to do.
I again say this is not really the behavior I want to see in the leader of the free world. And you do have the Mitt Romneys and Jeb Bushes, all the Bushes of the world, who are not supporting Trump, who are going after the sane part, the educated part, if I want to be really elitist, of the Republican Party, who sees the faults with this candidate. Paul Ryan is saying, I see the faults, but wink, wink, I'm still for him. How can that be supported in any way?
Let's go to a couple letters, and then we'll. I do want to get to the speech by President Obama when we come back.
Yes.
So,
look, Trump worked with questionable Russians in his slimy business deal. He praises Putin. I think they have stuff on him. I don't think he was sarcastic in the comments about the emails, and that's from Deanne. And then Robert says, I think Trump knew exactly what he was doing. He wanted people to be talking about him this morning instead of the Democrats. Under his theory that all press is good press. Okay. And then...
I agree with that. I mean, it would seem like it was definitely trying to upend the news cycle.
But as Nick Confessor said that he basically has taken the email thing and given Hillary the opportunity to criticize him on email. He owned that one.
He did own that one.
David says, Rosemary said a few minutes ago that she was surprised that Trump makes this strongman statements and does not turn off his followers. I keep thinking that Trump wants to elect a strong man who will exercise dictatorial power to put everyone he and they hates in their place. David from Williamstown. And then Daisy says, searches for voter registration hit the highest point last night since the end of the primary. It's all going to come down to turnout, who gets the votes. I said exactly that, and you're right, in this morning's commentary. It's all going to be about turnout. And let's see, Michael says, I call on Chairman Khrushchev to halt and eliminate this clandestine, reckless, and provocative threat to world peace. JFK, October 22nd, 1962, Cuban Missile Crisis. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Reagan at Brandenburg Gate in West Berlin, Germany, June 12th, 1987. I'm not going to tell Putin what to do. Why should I tell Putin what to do? D. Trump press conference, July 27th.
That's
nice. Trump, longer than 140 characters, but we like it, right?
Trump is the potential Neville Chamberlain of this 21st century. Peter says, I don't think Trump even knew if his remark about Russia and email was a joke. I expect that if it was well received, he was serious. If not, it was sarcastic. That's interesting. And then,
I don't know if it was that thought out, but yeah.
Well, no, but it's interesting that you sort of.
Yeah. Well, I think he can do that because nobody really believes what he said.
Mike, an ex New Jersey governor, pronounces his name to sound like Veep candidate. Okay.
But he ought to know what state his running mate's running mate is from. Yeah, he doesn't know who it is.
It's like not knowing what the
nuclear triad. He said he did a lousy job in New Jersey. He does not know who Hillary's running mate is.
Mark says Trump's sarcastic or not. Even if Trump was truly being sarcastic in his invitation to Russia about Hillary's emails, he says in seriousness so many outrageous things it's impossible to identify the sarcastic from the serious. We don't need a guy like that in the White House.
All right, we're gonna pause you there, and then we're gonna take a break. We'll be back. I want to talk much more. We'll get to more letters too, but we want to talk about the speech that President Obama gave last night and talk about that. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back after BBC News. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. It is great to have you with us, and we love that you are, and we have a lot to talk about this morning. I do want to get, we have a lot of letters, so we want to get to those in a moment, but I do want to focus on the convention, which, of course, day three, last night, the final night is tonight, where Hillary Clinton will accept the nomination for President of the United States, which he did make an appearance last night with the President of the United States, who gave an impassioned speech that was, I think, 40 minutes and was a barn burner.
Tour de force.
Yes. In my opinion, a great speech because it showed his legacy, it showed Hillary's legacy, and it also took some really good shots at Trump.
Okay, so look, he's very popular.
Yes,
now.
Over 55%, we're told.
He's very popular. Obviously, Hillary is not as popular.
Right.
You want to transfer some of his popularity to her.
Pass the baton,
as he said, yes.
Ipso facto, you have her come out either unexpectedly or not and hug him at the end. You can't have a transference more significant than that.
Well, and I have to say, as I was watching that at the end of the speech, as he was gearing up toward the end, I was thinking, well, the only thing that can make this better is if she walks out. And then she did. I was like, okay,
NBC had leaked that she was in the back.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. I had not seen that. Okay.
My friends on the ground said, make sure you stay till the end of the speech by Obama. But you left out one thing of what that speech accomplished, I think, Joe. And that was the best unifying speech of the entire convention to date when he gave a warm regard and talked about the legacy and the work of Bernie Sanders and said to his people, where you go from now is not out of the party, not to Trump, but you stay with us and make sure you stick with that. I thought that was really good. And Bernie is then shown beaming and, you know, quite moved, I thought, in the audience.
Ronald Reagan called America a shining city on the hill. Donald Trump called it a divided crime scene that only he can fix. It doesn't matter to him that illegal immigration and the crime rate are as low as they've been in decades because he's not offering any real solutions to those issues. He's just offering slogans and he's offering fear. He's betting that if he scares enough people, he might score enough votes to win this election. That is another bet that Donald Trump will lose because he's selling the American people short. We are not a fragile or frightful people. Our power doesn't come from some self-declared savior promising that he alone can restore order. We don't look to be ruled. Our power comes from those immortal declarations first put on paper right here in Philadelphia all those years ago. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that together we, the people, can form a more perfect union. That one line, we don't look to be ruled, like slap me across the head.
Brilliant, brilliant. I think Obama delivered it better than you did, Joe.
Of course.
No offense.
No, damn right he did.
There's some brilliant writing in there. He gets into gambling. Mm-hmm. He gets in Americans, you know, their pride and their self-reliance.
Hillary's record, yes. And against, in that yes. one paragraph.
Yes.
I was blown away by it. I thought it was great.
It's an amazing speech.
I like the line about our jihadists, communists, fascists, or homegrown, even homegrown demagogues.
Yeah, that was great.
That's why homegrown demagogues.
Well, they weren't holding anything back. They were blasting him. And I thought
overall it was a really powerful and great night for the Democrats. And they did it well.
And I love to watch it on C-SPAN because they show all the ads. You know, the dumbcoffs who were sitting around the table from on the other channels discussing the obvious do their thing, whereas I loved watching those ads on C-SPAN.
Some are pretty powerful.
Yeah.
When Republicans this morning are making a big deal, and I want to ask this of the group before we go to letters, but are making a very big deal about the fact that I heard Rudy Giuliani on the try that again. Former mayor of New York City, Rudy Giuliani, on Morning Joe, or I guess it was New Day this morning. Mm-hmm. And the thing that he is currently griping about is the lack of press conferences by Hillary Clinton. Is that an issue?
I think she ought to have press conferences. I think she ought to have them.
She remains, and that's one of her biggest faults. She's so uncomfortable around the press, does not see it as her friend, although I think it really would be very friendly to if she dealt with them as she does with when she's out on the campaign trail with people. Mm.
One-on-one.
Yeah, she'd be really good at it.
She's great
on one-on-one. She just won't attempt it. But why this week? She doesn't need a press conference this week. She's the star. And last week, too, for that matter, she was the presence in the room throughout the entire week. If I were her press advisor, I wouldn't do it.
I don't think she, I mean, I've seen her in press events, and she handles herself quite well. I just think that's one of the areas of vulnerability, and Trump has a press conference, and they ask questions, and he doesn't answer them. So I don't know, you know, he does not directly answer questions. He comes back with rhetoric, and if you do an analysis of answers, it's virtually he doesn't really.
Yeah, yeah, but right now it's working.
Well,
see, that's the point. If you had a liberal arts education, mm-hmm. and you are looking at this as being, did he say the right thing? Mm-hmm. Is this good for the country? You're missing the point. The point is, the man wants to be elected president of the United States, and whatever he's doing now is showing phenomenal results for him.
Well, Hillary is getting overshadowed by the stories about him. So he's seized the headlines this morning because of his comments about Russia. During the Republican convention, you didn't hear much about Hillary.
That's because there has always been this business of the other party shuts up out of courtesy during the other people's convention, not in this time.
So there won't be a courteous presidency if Trump were elected, Alan?
I would think Canadian real estate is the way to go.
All right. Let's go to some letters.
Okay, so there's been a lot about Rosemary's use of the word eunuch. Rosemary, eunuch is a word I expect to hear from Trump. If Trump called Hillary a neuter, you would have a canary. And that's from Michael. I'm trying to look for the other.
It's the men who object to the word eunuch, isn't it? Do you have any women critical of the term?
I don't know.
I'm saying eunuch because I can't say the real words that I would say in conversation on radio.
Well, give us a hint.
No.
Eunuch's the hint.
Okay. And then there's a, sorry, Alan, says Daniel. Rosemary is correct. Paul Ryan is a eunuch. Ryan wants to pretend that he stands on principle, yet he still endorses a candidate that has no principles, conservative or otherwise. Trump is making everyone in the Republican Party look like clowns.
Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
However, I just wanted noted that when we get the letters from Republicans and others saying nobody rose to say, you know, this is inappropriate language to be talk and in defense of Ryan, that one person on this panel at least made an attempt to say, I thought it took some courage for him to say that.
Okay, so there is a there are two definitions in Webster's for eunuch. One is
for heaven's sake,
literal, and one is virtual.
See, this proves words are powerful. Okay. I hope some students are listening.
A man who has been castrated.
Yeah.
Okay, that fits.
Okay. Two, an ineffectual person.
That fits too. Both right. Both definitions. Trump was a castrator. He has taken over the party, and he is really ineffectual.
Jack says, Rosemary, get over yourself. You are elitist. Get over yourself. Just because you are educated does not give you greater omniscience on the qualifications of Hillary versus Trump. Please keep in mind that there are many of us educated hoi polloi who have been able to find gainful employment in the real world and are not staying so locked into academia's liberal fountain of knowledge.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Are able to discern the serious mistake and disaster that Hillary would be compared to Trump, lesser of two evils.
Oh, my God.
Indeed, from
Jack. How's your shining city on the hill, Rosemary?
I know. I was going to just say I love the highly educated, but he is one, and I don't.
You don't love him.
No, I don't.
Well.
All right.
Okay. Norm says, all press is good press. Learn from his mentor, Roy Cohn. Roy Cohn, legal counsel to Senator McCarthy, legal counsel to the head of the New York mob, eventually disbarred before he died. Cohen was an anti-Semitic Jew and a homophobic homosexual, died of AIDS. This is the man who created Trump. Just saying. Is this true? Does anybody know about this?
Yeah, there's been a lot of press about that, that he learned a lot. He was a student of...
A mentor to Trump, yeah.
Okay. David says, excellent, eloquent speeches by Obama and others, but they won't sway Trump supporters who don't care about gun deaths or LGBT, but only economic issues. The worker who lost the $25 an hour job, and if now employed at $10 an hour, only cares about his loss of income.
That's a real issue, and Trump has tapped into that. Bernie's tapped into that, and it has to be addressed. It's just that the question is whether Trump has promoted anything that would address it, other than saying, I'll bring jobs back.
On social media, I'm hearing from a lot of people who lost jobs because they say of Obamacare, and I'm at a loss how to respond to that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there was a story in the Times a couple of weeks ago about how in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, people are angry. People lost their jobs, you know, middle-class white men who lost their jobs in the factories, and they blame NAFTA. But the jobs were gone years before NAFTA was ever passed. And people don't put all that together. They're just angry.
I grew up there. They've been complaining in Wilkes-Barre forever.
Is that why you got out?
But there's new high-tech jobs coming there, but these people are not candidates for them.
Nothing
new. It's painful. We have to train people. We have to make a commitment. We have to have a Marshall Plan for those areas.
Melania's education was fake. Trump took down Melania's personal website last night, replaced it with a generic Trump hotel website. Yesterday, the Huffington Post revealed that both Melania's website and the program from the Republican convention incorrectly state she graduated from the University of Slovenia with a degree in architecture. Wikipedia also says she dropped out during her first year. This is unbelievable, very sloppy. Is it barely getting any notice in the media, though? Can you imagine the blowback if the Dems, something like this?
Oh, Rachel Maddow does an episode about this at least once a week, about how inept both campaigns are at using social media. The domain names have been taken over by, you know, weirdos unconnected to the campaign. The truth is that this is new ways of campaigning, and the campaigns are trying to adjust to it.
But to the larger point with the Trump campaign, I think there is so much negative out there that can be said that the press, we in the press, and just the American people have a hard time keeping up where you sort of prioritize it. If you're talking about treason, if you're talking about sedition, at some point Melania's website kind of goes down to the bottom of the list.
I would think so.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on, and I think like there's so much to go after that. Was it Eugene Robinson? Who's the columnist? In the Washington Post.
Yeah.
He had an editorial in the paper this morning about one of the things that bothered him the most about the speech or the press conference yesterday by Donald Trump, not only about Russia and Crimea, but also about the president and saying that he was disgraceful, and went off on this tangent about how disgusting he was, and just felt that it was vulgar. And it was offensive. And again, I know this is nothing new, but that complete and lack of respect for the office of president and how you overcome that when you're trying to get that job.
Well, that was the brunt of the First Lady's address, that
yes.
We need someone in this office who wants it and who understands how important it is. And, of course, she meant Trump does not.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back, and we will continue. We have letters and some other things to talk about. We'll be right back after this.
Support comes from Albany Marriott. With 359 guest rooms, special event and meeting space with internet access, the Market Restaurant and Martini Lounge, and airport transportation. Facebook, Twitter, or albanymarriott.com. Allardyce Ace Building Supply, providing lumber and building supplies for commercial and home needs with locations in Malta, Saratoga Springs, and Milton, New York. Allardyce.com. NCSEA, people working together, a better New York for all. CSEANY.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable.
But before we go on, I have to apologize to Rosemary. She says you don't read. We get 1,000 letters, and I don't pick out the ones that support her. But here's one, and this is from Donald. Rosemary, love your perspective, Donald.
Okay, I'm sated now. Thank you.
Did you want more?
Sure. No. Let's do some more.
Okay. Today, says Robert, would be a good day to hear Republican bend over backwards to defend the indefensible. Where's Rich? All right. We invited him, right?
Yeah, he was unable to attend.
Rich was unavailable this week, and believe me, is chomping at the bit, but he'll be with us next week.
Yeah, so. Important legal business to do up to the track.
Yeah. I think he had important business with his children, so we honor that and let him be a dad for a couple days.
Okay, and Annette says, I'm a woman very offended by Rosemary's high and mighty use of the eunuch word. I'll bet her reaction would be different if Trump had said it.
Why would Trump say it? The eunuch is doing Trump's
else.
Bidding.
Yeah.
He says worse things, McCain being a loser.
Because he got caught.
Ethan says, no unity. The Bernie Sanders delegates have not felt welcome, and there is much party disunity at this convention.
I don't know if we're getting a true picture of that. It isn't all the Bernie supporters, as several listeners have pointed out. It's the Bernie or Bern, really extreme supporters who are the problem.
Well, if you believe the polls, which say 90-10, 90 say they will come over to vote for Hillary, 10 say that they won't. But I don't believe any of it. I believe it's going to be. We heard from somebody about Ralph Nader. I wish I could find it. Joe, maybe you could help me with that.
Why is he running?
Well, no, but he checked in and said he didn't believe that Trump, according to this letter anyway, that Trump would win. He thought he would lose, and it doesn't matter. I would remind Mr. Nader, who I have screamed at and who has screamed at me over this very subject, of a certain Bush election.
Where he declines to take any blame for that.
Responsibility.
Yeah. Well, of course.
It is interesting to me that the polls continue to show Trump doing very, very well, and yet all of these Republicans are worried about the down ticket, as they call it, races. So if the polls are right, do they not believe the polls? Why are they so worried?
Well, the other thing is Jill Stein. I thought she She was on NPR over the weekend, and she made not a very strong case to vote for her, and
to
you know, push off the notion that a vote for her is amounts to a vote for Donald Trump.
I mean, she was willing to turn the party over to Bernie. Well, that's not a strong endorsement of herself.
Well, I don't know. I interviewed her for an hour. I was impressed with her. I thought she
a
breadth of
she's
knowledge.
A doctor.
She's a brilliant person.
Yeah, brilliant.
Was important. Nevertheless, you know, when I asked her the key question, do you think you can win, and she answered yes, that's when there was a certain...
credibility issue.
Yeah, credibility. Yeah. I said, no, you're not going to win. No,
all right.
Sorry.
More letters.
More letters. Okay. Trump ace in the hole. Trump's ace in the hole is when he admits he has a magic wand and a pocket full of angel dust to accomplish all his promises. Please state that this is sarcasm so his supporters don't believe that this is true. And Joshua says, talk about the great Biden speech, please. Josh in Athol, Massachusetts. That's not Athol, New York. 1-800-323-92.
Why are you giving the number?
Oh, why did I do that?
I don't know.
I'm sitting here.
Wow, that was very
it's
cool.
An automatic.
I'm sitting here in a fun drive or
call that
an
automatic.
Thank you for telling me. Yeah.
No, that's all right.
Yeah. Why are you giving the number?
You're all getting a good kick out of it.
I think I know why you're giving the number.
If you get any calls, we may be forced to give the number in the future.
We're in a fun drive, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, here's a more important question. Music. What is this new roundtable music? Sounds like something you'd hear in one of Trump's casinos. Just saying, from Gary.
It's different every day, and it's big band.
Sarah
I think it's
answered him and said, the music is different every day.
Yeah, there you go.
So. Yeah, yeah. And Rosemary's bias views of people. As a constant listener, I am so very upset with Rosemary's better-than-they comments when she cannot express her views with the intellect that she professes to have. Titch, professor. A college degree does not make one superior or have more intelligence than anyone without such a degree. For example...
Trump has a college degree, so I agree with that part.
The Wharton School. He's brilliant.
Yes, I know.
He's really, really smart. You said that.
Okay.
And some people believe that, and they deserve my criticism.
But he complains about poorly educated people, not people who aren't smart, but people who are beneficiaries of a poor educational system.
Nor is she done with you.
And you're going to read it all, although you wouldn't read any of the good letters.
She read one. He read one.
It was one sentence long. He's reading the longest. You can send it to me, and I'll talk to her directly.
Jill Stein understands that the moment of the and the ideals are more important at the moment. The ideals and the movement are more important than the person at the top
Jill
of the ticket.
Stein?
What?
No, go ahead. Hillary, said Jill said. Is that Jill Stein said that?
No. It's actually Jill. It says Jill. Jill Stein. No, but it's actually Lee signed Lisa.
Oh, okay.
I'm so sorry, Joe, and thank you for pointing.
No, I didn't know whether I thought it was funny because I thought Jill Stein was saying, "Hey, I'm great."
Good. She was endorsing herself. Yeah.
Jim in Montgomery said, "Could a Nader versus Chartok be arranged before the election? That would be a show to remember." Jim in Montgomery, and then Beth says, "Trump got what he wanted. You, the press, have spent most of your show talking about him instead of the Democrats, who had a great convention night. We talked about."
Yeah. But I think the point is good. He wants to seize the moment, and that's what his co-biographer. Said in that recent article that he just wants attention. He doesn't even care if it's good or bad. He just craves attention.
Mm-hmm. So says Ethan, Hillary Clinton cries treason in order to take the story off her 40,000 deleted emails and the substance of the DNC.
Keeps going higher
emails.
And higher.
Yeah.
These DNC
there were
emails.
Like 12. We'll find out.
These DNC emails saw attempts to discredit Bernie Sanders as a candidate because of his Jewish religion. Does anybody know that one?
Yeah, there was some discussion about whether they should portray him as agnostic in the South because that would hurt him. Yeah.
Yes.
Was
wow.
I think they said
atheist.
Not agnostic. Oh, even worse.
Atheist is worse.
And they debated whether it would hurt him more if they portrayed him as a Jew or as an atheist.
Yeah, which do they?
Which would they hate more?
Yeah.
It was pretty distasteful.
It was just rhetorical.
It was.
It never happened, by the way.
Very disturbing.
Yeah.
And it was also happen. Very late
That's
in the
a good
process.
Point. It didn't happen.
It was after he was already well on the way.
Those letters just revealed a really seamy side of politics.
Monique says, I am a woman and I object to the word eunuch. This term is an antiquated and offensive holdover from a time in which toxic masculinity ruled, equating powerlessness with a lack of phallus.
Wow, what's outdated about that? What is outdated about that? Our first presidential election in which the size of the candidate's penis was discussed on in a debate?
Can you say that on the radio?
Yes, I can.
It's a clinical term, so it's okay. If you use a non-clinical term, equating powerlessness with a lack of phallus hurts women and men. It is also especially damaging to intersex people. These are the folks who used to be called hermaphrodites. Please inform Rosemary that we no longer...
Hermaphrodites have nothing to do with eunuchs. Send me that letter. We have to have a discussion. Holy cow.
Words are powerful, says Monique.
They are, I agree, and I chose the word.
And I expect a better choice of them from a college professor and a round table member.
I am doubling down on my use of that word.
Okay, now forward.
Taken, by the way, from Stephen Colbert.
Forward. Okay,
we're out of time, but if you could read the first letter just to make Rosemary's day from CWI.
Okay, I will do that, Joe. I'll do anything you say here. Okay, CWI. CWI, yes.
See, he can't find the good
5 days
Joe.
A week, I turn off Morning Joe, run to my studio, and turn Roundtable on so I can hear Rosemary. I love you all, but as one educated Italian to another, Rosemary, you go, girl.
There you go.
Okay,
right.
I'm placated.
We'll end there. We'll not be here tomorrow. Right, because we're going to be at Tanglewood for broadcast, so we'll be back on Monday.
I'm glad you reminded me.
Don't you leave me alone. Right, and you're off the hook, and we'll see you all back here next week for the panel. We'll be back with more Roundtable after this.